is Monday evening, July the 3rd, 1972, in Richmond, Virginia, ministry being given through Brother Stephen Kong.
Here we have a word of prayer first. Lord, we do thank Thee for bringing us together here tonight. We do desire to meet Thee, to see Thee, and to hear Thee. Deliver us from just having a meeting, hearing someone speak. Oh Lord, we want to see Thee. Do manifest Thyself to us at this moment through Thy Word. Lord, that we may not just touch the letter, but we may touch Thee behind the letter. Lord, we cannot be the same if we have met Thee. So we just commit ourselves to Thee for tonight, trusting Thee to come into our midst and reveal Thyself to every one of us. Thou knowest each one of us. Lord, Thou knowest what we need. Thou art the one whom we really need. So Lord, give Thyself to us afresh in a new and living way tonight. And we are ready to give Thee all the praises and the glory that is Thy due. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. We have the whole book of the Gospel according to Mark before us tonight. So I will not use the whole time reading from chapter 1, verse 1, through the last chapter, chapter 16 of Mark. Instead, I would just like to read one verse, which is the key, actually, to the Gospel according to Mark. And I believe you know what verse I'm thinking of. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. This is the key verse of the Gospel according to Mark. For also the Son of Man did not come to be ministered to, but to minister, and gave his life a ransom for many. Now, if you don't like the word minister, you can for the word serve. Probably people are more used to the word serve than to minister. And we can read it, for also the Son of Man did not come to be served to, but to serve, and give his life a ransom for many. This morning we share together on the nature of servanthood. Mark presents Christ to us as the servant of the Lord, the perfect servant, by whom God's full purpose is realized. And in him we see the nature of true servanthood. How can we be servants to God? How can we be true servants of God? We have to have in us this very nature that characterizes Christ as the servant of God. So we mentioned very briefly this morning 2 points, just 2 points. One is the principle of servanthood is the principle of son-servant. It is the Son who is the servant. How can we serve God? How will God accept our service to Him? Only when we serve God with the life of God's Son in us. And it is only when we serve God with the Son's life, we are true servants of God. How often we serve God with our natural life, with our human natural wisdom and our carnal mind and fleshly energy. We cannot serve God in that way. God will only accept the service of His Son. If we serve Him in His Son's life, then we become true servants of God. Then the second point is, as our Lord Jesus was baptized before He began His public service, in like manner, we have to present this body, these bodies of ours, that have been redeemed as living sacrifices. And it's only out of this living sacrifice God will entrust us with service. And this you find in Romans chapter 12. Now tonight, we would like to go into this matter of the character of the servant of God. When we read the Gospel according to Mark, probably our whole attention will be arrested by the words and deeds of our Lord Jesus. As a matter of fact, the Gospel according to Mark is very different in one sense. He does more than he speaks. You find in the record of Mark concerning the life of our Lord Jesus, he does not record much of the speaking of our Lord Jesus. Rather, you find he records his doings a lot. A good servant works more than he talks. Suppose you have a servant who is talking from morning to night. He never does his job. So here you'll find the characteristic of the Gospel according to Mark. There is not much recordings of the speaking of our Lord. And yet it is filled with the doings of our Lord. But whatever it may be, I think as we read the Gospel according to Mark, we will be fascinated, arrested by what the Lord does, and also, of course, by what He talks, what He speaks. But brothers and sisters, is this all that you find in the Gospel according to Mark? Are you just occupied with the words and the deeds of our Lord Jesus? Or do you, through these words and deeds, you begin to see the Lord Himself? These words and deeds are expressions of what He is. In other words, the character of the person shows you the type of work he does. The man is more important than his work. If we see only his words and deeds and we fail to see him, that is his character, his inward character, you do not have the explanation. You only see what is visible, but you do not know the source of all his words and deeds. And I do believe the Holy Spirit, in giving us this record of the life of our Lord Jesus, means that we may see Christ, His character, that we may be transformed and conformed to that character more than He just wanted to see what He has done and what He has spoken. Now, not that what He does and speaks are unimportant. They are. But there is more to it. God wants us to get behind His words and deeds and to get to know that person. Now, unless you can see Christ in this way, unless you can read the gospel in this way, you'll miss the point. So, brothers and sisters, when Mark presents Christ to us as the servant of the Lord, it is more than just giving us a continuous record of what He does. Thank God for all that He has done. But it's more than that. He is trying to show us the character that is behind all His words. That is the reason why He calls to Himself disciples. When the Lord was on earth, He not only did things, He not only said words, but He called people to be with Him as His disciples. And these disciples were to stay with Him. These disciples were to go around with Him. Not just to learn the technique of work, but more to learn the life of the Master. Brothers and sisters, what God is interested in is more in the workers or in the servants than in the service or the work. Because the kind of servant will determine the kind of service. You know, our emphasis is always on the service. It's always on the work. And because of that, we think if we can master the technique, the art of it, then we will be successful in serving God. But brothers and sisters, God's thought is very different. His attention is more upon the servant. That the servant may be so transformed, conformed to Him. And out of that will be service, which is pleasing to God. Therefore, when we study the gospel according to Mark, it is just not enough just to know what the Lord does or what He has spoken. We have to see the character of Christ as the servant. And in seeing Christ, His character, we are to be characterized by His character. And I believe this is the purpose of the gospel according to Mark. Now, of course, the building of a character takes time. There is much in our lives that has to be set aside. There is much that has to be gradually developed and built up in us. There will be lots of adjustments to be made. And we have to go through the school of discipline a great deal. In order that a different kind of character, which we do not have naturally, may be built up in us. And only when we have such features of such character, we are able to serve God in a way that will be pleasing to Him. So, brothers and sisters, that is the reason why the Lord took some, called some to Him, to be with Him. Not just to learn the technique, but to learn Him. And after they have learned Him, then when they go out to do the work, that work will be like His work. So this is actually what we wish to see tonight. Now, when you go through the Gospel according to Mark, you will see many features which characterize Christ as the servant of God. We do not have the time to go through all these features, but tonight we would like to fellowship just on a few, just as a starting, as a start. And as you read the Gospel according to Mark, I hope that more and more the character of Christ may appear before you. First of all, to be a servant, one character is very basic and necessary, and that is diligence. When you go through the Gospel according to Mark, you know there is one word that is repeated again and again and again. Throughout the Gospel according to Mark, you find the word immediately or straightway. Immediately, straightway. Altogether, I don't know if I have counted right, 37 times. But anyway, you'll find when such word is used so much, the Holy Spirit has something to say to us. As a servant, one quality of the good servant is that he is diligent. He is very diligent. Diligently doing the Master's will. And that is just the thing that characterizes our Lord. You know, God never uses a lazy person. Have you ever found in the Bible that He calls a lazy person to be His servant? Never. On the contrary, you'll find when God calls for a servant, usually you'll find that servant is busily occupied. Now, even in the world, if you have something, you want something to be done, you do not go to a person who has done nothing, who is doing nothing. You go to a person who is quite busy. Why? Because you know he will do it. A lazy person will never do anything. It is the diligent that does the work. God never calls a lazy person. There must be that character of diligence in that person. Well, probably you would say, now, some people may be born more diligent than other people. Or some people may be naturally lazy, Now, brothers and sisters, the point is here. To be diligent does not mean to be busy. You may be very busy, but you may not be diligent. to be diligent is a character that we have to learn from Christ. Naturally, no one of us is diligent. Why? Because we may be very diligent in a thing to do what we want to do. But when you come to God's will, no one is diligent. We try to avoid it, we try to evade it, we try to escape it, and we try to push it to tomorrow. Mariana. Tomorrow. When you come to spiritual things, you begin to realize that we are not naturally diligent. No one is. The Lord has to do something in our lives to make us diligent. So you find it is not just a matter of being busy. It is not a matter of doing what we like to do. No. Diligence is a spiritual character. God has done something in our lives to make us very diligent, that is to say, whenever there is God's will, we do not delay it, we do not drag along, but we quickly follow the Lord. That's diligence. Look at the life of our Lord Jesus, how diligent he is. In the parable our Lord Jesus gives concerning the servants, you know, one man is leaving the country. So he gave his substance to three servants. One is given 5 talents, the second is given 2 talents, and the third is given 1 talent. Now, a talent is a lot. A talent is not a little. So even the one with 1 talent actually is given a great deal. But of course, in comparison with the 2 talents and the 5 talents, it's little, you know. But the little itself is big. But anyway, you'll find these servants are entrusted with the master's substance. And the master said, trade with it. Be occupied with it. The two faithful servants, wise and faithful servants, they trade with the talents, and the one with 5 earned another 5, the one with 2 earned another 2. And when the Lord comes back and takes the account, the Lord says, good. Good and faithful servant. Well done. They are wise because they know the master's heart. They are faithful because they are diligent. But the one with 1 talent, he is not only slothful, lazy, but he is foolish. Why? He does not know the master's mind. And he does not do the master's work. And because he is slothful and foolish, you'll find when the master comes back, even that which was given to him is taken away. Now, brothers and sisters, the Lord has given us much. Even the little we have is much. Never look down upon the grace and the gift that God has given to you. You know, some people, they are quite, say, well, who am I? What do I have? I have only 1 talent. So why bother? Remember that 1 talent is a lot. We need to be wise in knowing the Master. And we need to be diligent in doing the Master's will. To be diligent and to wait upon the Lord are not contradictory. You know, sometimes we think in order to be diligent, then you have to rush here and there and getting even giving. Then you are diligent. Not at all. Not at all. You'll find our Lord Jesus, after he has done a day's work, he rests. But the next morning, before dawn, he goes to the desert, and there he prays. When his disciples come and say, "Now, a lot of people are coming here. They are waiting for you." The Lord says, "Let us go to the neighboring town, because I'm called to do that." In other words, you'll find his work is not governed by me. His work is governed by the Father's will. No, today our problem is, our work is governed by need. Because there is this need, because there is that need, therefore, well, thank God, we are willing to give ourselves to these needs. But the result is, we are doing lots of things, but what are the things that God wants? There is no time for waiting before the Lord. We think that waiting upon the Lord is a waste. Not so with our Lord Jesus. He waits upon God. He knows the Father's will. And he is diligent in doing the Father's will. That is something that we have to learn. You know, either we are so occupied doing things, or we are just lazy and do nothing. We go to two extremes, you know. But as God's servant, there is a place for waiting upon the Lord. If we do not know God's will, don't do it. Don't rush ahead. But wait upon the Lord until you know the Lord's will. But the moment you know the Lord's will, don't delay. Be diligent in carrying it out. And this is exactly what you find in the Gospel according to Mark. It is true that the Lord travels here and there. It is true that he does many things. But remember, he is never He is never busy to the point that he has no time to wait upon the Father. You know, you have heard lots of people, God's servants, will say, "Well, I'm so busy, I have no time to pray. I'm so busy serving the Lord, I have no time to wait upon the Lord." And you know, the result is many nervous with that. They mean well. But this is not the character that you characterize the servant of the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, in reading the life of Christ according to Mark, you find the Lord. He may be busily occupied, yes, but he is never without time to wait upon the Father. Once he knows the Father's will, he never hesitates. He never postpones it. He carries it out with diligence. So this is the first feature of the character of a servant of the Lord. Second, the Lord is full of compassionate. It is not just doing a work. You may do a work, but if your heart is not involved, it is cold, it is dead. The work may be done, but before God, there is very little value. But here you'll find our Lord Jesus is compassionate. That characterizes him as the servant of the Lord. For instance, a leper comes to him. You know, when this leper comes to the Lord Jesus, he is desperate. Because according to the custom of that time, according to law, a leper is not allowed to come into the city. And when people should approach a leper, that leper should cry out, unclean, unclean, don't come near. If a leper should dare to come into the crowd and be discovered, he will be stoned to death. But this leper is desperate. No one can heal him. No one can claim him. And when he hears of the Lord Jesus, that is his only hope. He believes in the power of the Lord Jesus, but he is not sure whether the Lord is willing to do it or not. Because he has never known the Lord before. He may think that the Lord is able to do it, but he would do it to people who are more worthy. He is not worthy. But anyway, he is desperate. When he comes to the Lord, you know, he put his life in his hand, as it were. Because if the people should discover it first, he will be stoned to death. He comes to the Lord and says, Lord, if you will, you can cleanse me. I believe in your power, but I'm not sure whether you are willing or not. I cannot force your hand. If you think I'm unworthy, then I don't deserve it. But if you will, if you are compassionate towards me, I believe you can do it. So you must remember, this leper comes to the Lord. On the one hand, he is brave, because he is desperate. But on the other hand, he comes to the Lord trembling. He is not sure whether the Lord is willing. The Lord can very easily say a word, and he will be cleansed. But the Lord knows the trembling heart of the leper. The Lord knows that he is fearful lest the Lord is not willing. Therefore the Lord stretches out his hand. He does not need to do that. He can say a word and it is done. That's all is required. But why is it the Lord stretches his hand and touches the leper? And you know, in touching the leper, if he is not able to heal the leper, he himself will be defiled. The Lord braves the danger of being defiled by touching the leper. But thank God, of course, he is not defiled. Instead, he cleanses the leper. But in this very action, you can see the compassion of our Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters, very often, when we are entrusted with a work, we can do it technically, correct? We can do it mechanically. But where is the compassion? And if there is no compassion in the sight of God, there is very little spirituality in it. Another case. The Lord is in a house. And many people just crowd around him. Even the door is filled with people. and you remember four friends. They bring a man sick of palsy to the Lord. But they find the door is blocked. The place is just packed. There is no way to get near to the Lord. So they go to the roof. You know, in the Orient, in the land of Judea, their way of building is quite different from ours. You can go to the roof from outside. There is a stairway that will go from outside to the roof. And usually when a person wants to seek for privacy, that you may pray or you may be alone, you go to the roof in order to have some privacy. Now these men, they take the man sick of palsy to the roof. Then they break open the roof. And they lower the bed on which the man sick of palsy sleeps. And they lower it just before the Lord Jesus. Now remember, this is very unconventional. The Lord is using another person's house. And when the roof is broken through, now who is to pay the repair? But instead of getting angry and saying, now you just disturb our peace. When the Lord sees this, he said, great is their faith. Your sins are full of compassion. Every time you find the Lord does something, he does not do it with his hand. He does it with his heart. That's the servant. A servant of the Lord. He never gives lip service. It is a service from the heart. How often we may be doing certain service, but we just do it with our hands. Our heart is not there. You know, a real servant of the Lord has a heart full of compassion. But you know, compassion is more than an emotion. We may be emotionally stirred, but compassion is a character. You know the difference between an emotional stirring and a character. An emotional stirring is you may be touched by some environment and get stirred emotionally and do something. But a character is deep-seated in your life. The Lord is compassionate. That is his character. Not just an emotional outburst. No. A man may be very emotional. And usually when a person is emotional, he is impulsive and he is blind. But the Lord Jesus is compassionate, yet he is not impulsive nor blind. One day, the Lord comes to the border of Caesarea Philippi. And a Sidonian woman comes to the Lord. He cries to the Lord and says, Son of David, have mercy on me. Because my child is attacked by the devil. Have mercy on me. Heal my child. Son of David. The Lord does not answer her. She is quite insistent. Have mercy on me, son of David. Have mercy on me. But the Lord does not answer her. Even the disciples of our Lord get disturbed. They do not understand why the Lord does not answer that woman. That doesn't look like the Lord himself. So they come to the Lord and say, have you heard her? Either you do something or you send her away. You cannot let her cry out to you as if you haven't heard. Now that doesn't look like you. What is it? Now if the Lord, compassion is just an emotion, then certainly he should respond right away. But his compassion is a character. He knows what he is doing. He's not blind. That woman, in crying to the Lord, saying, Son of David, she has limited the Lord. She has bound the hands of the Lord. Because as the Son of David, he is sent to the house of Israel. And this woman is a Gentile. He cannot do it. He just cannot do it. His hands are bound. Bound by the ignorance of this woman. So he said, you cannot give the bread. You give the bread only to the children. I'm sent to the lost in Israel. By saying that, actually, he leaves a crack for that woman to take up. And that woman immediately says, yes, Lord. See? Yes, Lord. Not from the baby. Yes, Lord. The bread is for the children, but I'm a little dog. I'm a pet dog. I can at least have some crumbs under the table. I still have a claim on you. And the Lord said, great is your faith. Your child is healed. Brothers and sisters, you'll find he is not only compassionate, but he is very clear in what he does. He is not just emotionally bound up and he will just do anything whenever his emotion is involved. No. That's a character. Brothers and sisters, that is the reason why his work is not governed just by these. It's governed by the Father's will. His heart is warm, but his mind is very cold. And that qualifies you as a servant of the Lord. A servant who is cold, not only in his mind, but also in his heart, can never serve God. But neither can a servant who is warm in heart, but also hot in mind, can serve the Master. So the second point is, the servant of the Lord is compassionate. Number three, Christ as the servant of the Lord is sacrificial. As we find in Mark chapter 10 verse 45, the Son of Man does not come to be ministered to, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for man. The servant of the Lord has no self-interest. He is not seeking for personal gain. He has no ambition of his own. He is willing to give everything, even his life. That's a servant of the Lord. He does not withhold anything for himself, but he is willing to give everything. Our Lord Jesus, as the servant of God, is marked by gentleness. Oh, how gentle he is. How do we know he is so gentle? Look at the way he deals with children. You know? The Lord is busily occupied with His great work, and then the parents bring the children to the Lord. And the disciples push these parents away and said, our Lord is too busy for the children. He has no time for the children. You better take the children away. But the Lord said, suffer the little children to come to me, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So the Lord, even though He is busily occupied with more important work, as people will say, you'll find He set aside everything. He takes the children in His arms and He blessed them. What gentleness. Another occasion. And this you'll find only in Mark. In nowhere else. After the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, He asked the woman to bring a message to His disciples that He will meet them in Galilee. But in the Gospel according to Mark, He said, and Peter. Now that is the reason why some people think Mark's Gospel is according to Peter. Because this is the only place where you'll find Him and Peter. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. Peter repented. But even so, Peter was not sure of the Lord. He was literally living in fear. He had offended the Lord so much, he wondered if the Lord would ever forgive him. If the Lord would ever remember him. So the Lord sent a message and said, and Peter. What gentleness. What meekness. But do not misunderstand. As if gentleness is weak. You know, sometimes we think of gentleness as weakness. Not at all. When it comes to the matter of truth, the Lord never compromised. You remember one day, He enters into the synagogue, and there is a man with a withered hand. And these worshippers, I don't know whether the Pharisees plant that man there or not. I don't know. But they are all watching whether the Lord will do something to the withered hand, man with a withered hand, on the Sabbath day. The Lord knows it. He stands up and He asks the question. What will you do on the Sabbath day? Good thing or bad thing? Nobody answers. And you remember the Bible says the Lord is angry. He looks angrily at the congregation. And He asked that man to stand up. Stretch out your arm. And the withered hand is healed. Gentleness does not mean weakness. He is strong. Brave. Bold when it comes to the matter of truth. And you know how He denounces the Pharisees and the scribes? The Pharisees and the scribes, they are the elite of society. The ruling class of His time. If you offend them, then you're doomed. But the Lord denounces them. He is not compromising in anything. And when it comes to the truth, you read the Gospel according to Mark, and you'll find the Lord never tried to take away the sharpness You know, sometimes a person naturally can be gentle, but when a person is naturally gentle, he rounds up everything, you know. There is no more sharpness. Therefore, this gentleness has to come from Christ. The sharpness is still there. Whenever the Lord speaks, it cuts like a two-edged sword. It is not blunt. It is not round up. Brothers and sisters, that's what we need. A gentleness, and yet there is no weakness there. Number five. You find the Lord is single-minded. You know, a servant cannot serve two masters. You either love the one or despise the other. You either listen to the one or you don't listen to the other. You cannot try to serve two masters. It's impossible. And here you'll find our Lord Jesus is single-minded unto God. So all his life he is to do the Father's will. That's all. The Father's will. He set his face towards Jerusalem, even though he knows what is waiting. He does not look back. Three times. He tries to tell his disciples that he will go to Jerusalem and there he will be killed. But on the third day, he will rise again. He knows. What is waiting for him? But he is single-minded towards God. Every time he discloses that he will be killed in Jerusalem. You know, every time his disciples react in a very different way. The first time is found in Mark chapter 8. You know, after Peter confessed the Lord Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, then the Lord begins to open up his heart to his disciples. And said, now, remember, I will go to Jerusalem, I will be persecuted, I will be killed, but on the third day, I will rise again. But when he discloses that to his disciples, Peter immediately takes hold of him. I don't know whether Peter shakes him or not. And said, now come to your senses. Be mindful of yourself. Have mercy. Pity yourself. Don't do such a thing. You don't need to do that. You can get the world. You can take the throne of David without going to the cross. You don't need that. And the Lord turned around and said, Satan, get me behind. Because you're not mindful of the things of God. You're only mindful of the things of man. The second occasion, in chapter 9, when they pass through Galilee, again the Lord begins to tell them that he will go to Jerusalem, he will be killed, and on the third day he will be raised from the dead. And you know what happened? When the Lord is talking to them about his cross, you know what the disciples are discussing among themselves? They are discussing among themselves who is the greatest. What a contradiction. So the Lord had to take a child and say, now, put a child in their midst. And he said, the greatest in the kingdom of God is this child. Unless you be converted and be like a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Think of that. And the third occasion, in chapter 10, when the Lord says he is going to Jerusalem, he will be killed. You know what happened? John and James, they come to the Lord with their mother and said, now when you sit on the throne, will you please let one son and the other son sit on the right and the left of you? And the Lord said, can you drink the cup that I drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized? Oh, yes, they say yes. Oh, yes. without knowing what they are. The Lord said, indeed, you must. But to sit on my right and my left is not for me to give. It is for the Father to give. If anyone wants to come after me, he has to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In the world, those who rule, overlord, have authority over others, but not among you. He who is the greatest among you must be the bond slave of all. For the Son of Man does not come to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. See? Three times. Whenever the Lord discloses something about the cross, the reaction of the disciple is just opposite. They are seeking the throne, bypassing the cross. But the Lord said, no, it cannot be. It cannot be. Our Lord is single-minded towards God. And brothers and sisters, if we want to be servants of the Lord, we must be characterized by single-mindedness. If your eye is single, your whole body is light. If your eyes are wicked, that is, double sight, then your whole body is dark. And the Lord said, if that's the case, how dark will be that darkness? Brothers and sisters, we need to be single-minded towards the Lord. And because of that, we have to see the way to the throne is by the cross. You cannot escape it. And then finally, I mention one more thing, and that is, the servant of the Lord is confident, not in himself, but in God. You know, our trouble is we are confident in ourselves. We put our trust in our flesh. I can do it. But no. With the Lord Jesus, he is a servant full of confidence. Not in himself, but in God, his Father. Therefore, the Lord said, have faith in God. If you have faith in God, you can remove the mountain to the sea. Whatever you ask, if you believe that you will receive, you will receive it. Oh, brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus has full confidence. And that is the reason why he does not retreat, withdraw, or flee. But he can go straight forward to finish the work that the Father had entrusted him, confident all the time that God will take care of him. Brothers and sisters, we cannot serve God if we have confidence in our flesh. Neither can we serve God if we do not have confidence in God. Because serving God, you have to go through many things. And if you have no confidence in God, you cannot get through. But our Lord Jesus, to the very end, you'll find how confident he is of God. So by just briefly, you know, going through these occasions, these incidents, you will find at the back of these incidents, you'll find the manifestation of a certain character. And this character is the character of a servant. And it is the will of God that we who are called to serve God must be characterized by these features. Again, I say, We do not have them naturally. These character has to be built up gradually in us. The Holy Spirit is the one who is to build that character in us. How is it to be built? First, He has to put Christ before us. As in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, we behold the glory of the Lord. We have to see Him first. If we do not see Him, the Holy Spirit does not have any ground to work. We have to see Christ as He is, His diligence, His compassion. His sacrifice, sacrificial love. His gentleness. His single-mindedness. His confidence in the Father. We have to see Him. Now that is what He is. Now as we behold Him, and with our heart open to Him, then the Holy Spirit is able to transform us according to His image, from glory to glory. And of course, in the process of transformation, there is much that has to be cast aside. There is much adjustment to be made. We have to go through discipline. That which belongs to us has to go out. That which is His has to come in and gradually be increased in us. But thank God, the Holy Spirit who dwells in us has a very special job. You know, the Holy Spirit dwells in each one of us. He has a very special job to do. And what is His job? To reveal Christ to us. Not to just to reveal Him, that we may see Him, but by revealing Him, we may desire Him. And in desiring Him, we may allow the Holy Spirit to do the work in us. Now that is the work of the Holy Spirit. He is doing that work either through revelation or through discipline, through our environment. But He is building that character in us. Brothers and sisters, God is more interested in building the servant character in us than He is interested in our. Not because you are busy doing things for Him. Therefore, you are a servant of the Lord. Unless we allow Him to build the servant character in us, brothers and sisters, whatever we touch, we spoil it. We spoil it. But when God can get that servant character in us, then whatever our hand touches, it glorifies God. It pleases God. So I do believe this is the reason why Mark presents Christ to us in this gospel. Not just that we may copy His work. We may imitate His words. No. That we may be transformed and conformed to His image. Then out of that comes God's work. And if we can read the gospel according to Mark in this way, I do believe we touch what the Holy Spirit wants us to learn. It is Christ. It is Christ Himself, brothers and sisters. Always Christ Himself. Shall we pray?
O Lord. We pray that we may see the servant character in thee. We pray that we may open ourselves to thee, to allow thy Spirit to work in us that character. That whenever, whatever we touch, it may be thy work. It may be a work that is pleasing in thy sight. Oh, deliver us just from doing things, saying things. But Lord, we pray, whatever we do, whatever we say, may be the expression of what we are by thy grace. Lord, we want thee to be served in the best way, in the right way. So do use these feeble words. Bless us. And do thy work in every one of us. Thou art worthy to be served. And we do desire to serve thee. In the name of our Lord Jesus.